Put it together, can he? Hallelujah. Now, I don't know about you in the audience, but it's stuffy up here on the platform. And if it gets too stuffy out there, you'll sleep on me. So, Brother Larry, if you feel inclined, there's a miracle in the making. I'm going to read a lengthy passage of Scripture, and it has been read so many times, preached on in so many ways, but I'm just going back to it. From chapter 4 of St. Mark, and we'll read verses 35 through 41, and then we'll go into chapter 5 and we'll read verses 1 through 9. And I want to talk to you about two storms. Just condense everything down to two storms. There's one storm that cannot be dealt with by human agency, and the other storm can be helped by the power of God. And we'll see the connection. Chapter 4 and verse number 35. The same day when even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. That's not coincidental. He felt a press to go across that lake. He knew what the disciples did not know. He knew the mind of the Holy Ghost. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, the storm arose, and Jesus arose and rebuked the wind. I just feel that we need to understand something here. You don't just rebuke wind, you rebuke something that's making the wind. There's a personality behind this wind. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And Jesus rebuked that personality. Oh, help me, Jesus. And there was a great calm. He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? They feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? They came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadareans. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Out in the Sea of Galilee, he meets a storm from elements. On the shore, he meets a storm of a personality. This man, verse number 3, had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters, in rehab, in everything it could happen, but it was not, but that's not in your Bible, but that puts it today. There are people walking around that have tried everything on God's earth to get out of the misery they're in. There's nothing pleasurable about sin in the long range. The pleasures of sin are for a season. The bubble burst. That's what this man, am I talking to you? Always, night and day, he was in the mind. No rest. No luxury, no relaxation. He was in the mountains and in the tombs crying. Schizophrenic, cutting himself with stones. Suicidal. But when he saw Jesus afar off, there was no interpreter. There was no placard that said, Jesus is coming. A crazy man, a demon-possessed man, totally under the powers of demonic spirits, saw Jesus afar off. Look what he did. He ran and worshiped him. Here's a dual personality. One part of the man is crazy, addicted, mentally off balance. But there's another part of the man that has a spiritual insight. He sees somebody coming unlike anyone else he has ever seen. And something began to rage in his bosom. Demons begin to rise up because they're going to talk in a minute. And he recognizes Jesus, seeing him afar off. I wonder this morning, who in this building is only seeing Jesus afar off? You're reluctant to see him close up. Because when you see him close up, he will show you who you are. Not out of spite, not out of meanness, but until you find out who you are, you cannot get help. But when you find out and admit, I am a wretched, ungodly sinner, there is no hope for me, there is no help for me, there is no solution for me. God, have mercy on my soul. He ran to him. And here's a man that is all schizophrenic. Does something that sane people won't do. Does something that good caliber character people won't do. He worshiped Jesus. Cried with a loud voice. Now see, here's the same body. Here's the same physique. But now there's another personality talking. Are y'all with me? The personality that said, Jesus, thy son of David, or Jesus, saw him and worshiped him. Now another personality has risen up. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thy son of the most high God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. See, that's where people are at, maybe even today in this auditorium. One day you're in and one day you're out. One day you're sincere. You're not putting on a facade. You're sincere. You want to worship God. It's in your heart. Am I talking to anybody? But in the same breath, there's another power in there that overwhelms that power and brings you back into torture. Oh, God, help me. Now, the third person, there's the man speaking, there's the devil speaking, and now Jesus speaks. Come out of the man, thy unclean spirit. He didn't wrestle him. He didn't put a judo hold on him. He told that personality. He told that personality, get out of that man. And that personality, call it demons, call it spirits of darkness. It's the devil, it's the demonic power. The devil manifests him. Demon powers manifest themselves in personalities. They talk. When they talk with a different voice. than they normally talk with. Am I talking to anybody? Jesus asked the man, "What is thy name?" I'm going to identify you, is what Jesus is saying. You tell me, commit to me, and be advised that I know who you are, but you tell me. And he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now the demon, the man, this man besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. The devils did not want to leave and be deported to another station. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, "Send us into these swine that we may enter into them." The point in that verse, in that statement, is that demon powers need a body to operate their deviousness through. That's why you have rapes. That's why you have plunder. That's why you have pornography. That's why you have sin. That's why you have drug addiction. That's why you have all the stuff that destroys a human being, is because those devils need a body. And they're not going to be satisfied with one corner of your heart, honey. They're never going to be satisfied with portions of your heart. They're after one thing: to fill you with darkness and despair and degradation and finally send you to hell. But somewhere or other, Jesus stepped on that shore. There were other people around Gadara, but Jesus left the other side of the shore, headed to this side of the shore with one motive in mind. He knows what nobody else knows. He knows that there's a helpless, hopeless human being on the other side of that lake that has tried everything he could not get better. And Jesus said, "I know I can help him." Oh, dear God. Listen, I got to go. Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the swine started acting crazy. You ask the question, why do people act like they do? Because they got some personality in them that's trying to be dormant, but it can't. At some point, why does somebody walk into a school with a high-powered rifle and start shooting people? It's not because they laid on the bed twiddling their thumbs and said, "I want to do something." There's some voice. There's some driving power. There's some darkness that begins to possess them. Oh, dear God, if you mess around with darkness, you're going to get possessed by darkness. If you mess around with the wrong people's going to get into you. I feel so strong. Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and there was about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Get this picture. You read this. You know this. It's nothing strong, nothing new to you. At least 2,000 devils were in the man. No wonder he was walking among the tomb, committing atrocities, cutting himself, crying out. That's what the devil would do. He will isolate you from society. He would drive you into the hell holes of this world. My God, I feel. Would you just point your hand this way and pray, "God, touch me in the next 10 minutes. Father, I'm not going to be here lengthy, just elaborating, just discussing. Let me take the hammer of your word and strike the blow. Oh, God, let the powers of darkness be shattered. Let the fires of hell be burned out. Let the bondage that's gripping somebody be broken today. Now, to show you what happens when that dark personality is ejected, see, even in our churches, We've sent them to the counselors. In our churches, we've sent them. We've put band-aids on cancer problems. We've got to recognize that it's not just a warped personality that we're dealing with. It's a demon personality. They're called unclean spirits, spirits of deafness, spirits of blindness, spirits of darkness. Hallelujah. First of all, well, let me just make one more. In verse number 15, they came to Jesus, the people of the town, and they see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And this startles me. It startles me. It does not say that they were afraid of the demon-possessed man. But now the man has got his right mind. He's gentle. He's kind. And it scares them. Have you ever been changed to the point where your goodness scares people? Where they say, you better be careful because he'll explode in a minute. No, but you show him 2 years from now, you still got the same gentle, good, kind spirit. 5 years down the road, you're still bearing the fruit of the Spirit, and after a while, they say, this thing must be real. You've got to prove that it is real. First of all, let me move through quickly. There was a great need existing, and the disciples with Jesus were not aware of that great need, but Jesus was aware of it, and Jesus sensed that need, that it was urgent. And he sends the multitudes the way that he's been teaching. And he says to the disciples, cross over. Let us cross over to the other side. It's an urgent need. And Jesus made a deliberate decision and a deliberate choice to go supply that need. Let me stop. I know I'm talking his hearts. Jesus has made a deliberate decision this morning in this building that there's somebody that he's put his hand around your heart, and he's telling you, you don't have to live in hell another day. You don't have to live in darkness another hour. He brought you to this house this morning to let the hell that's in your life be sent out. You can go to the counselor and waste your money. You can go to the advisors and let waste them. But when you go to Calvary, does anybody? Jesus encountered this life-threatening. In other words, he's going to deal with a storm, and he encounters a storm on the way to deal with a storm. He's going, he's got in his car, let's put it in 2016. He got in his car going to the aid of somebody, going to help somebody, going to be a friend to somebody, going to alleviate somebody's pain and perplexity. And on his way, he encounters a storm. And the storm that he encounters is a distraction. It's a diversion. It's of the devil. It's the wind blowing and the waves rolling and the boat sinking. And it's all because the devil does not want him to get to the other side to deal with that storm. And some of you are going through a storm this morning. Some of you, you've got your back against the wall today, and you have not realized that it's just a diversion. It's just a mess of the devil to try to keep you from reaching the real storm. That God has got destiny in your life, and that God has got an appointment in your life, and that God is saying, I want you to go where I tell you. And the devil says, I'm not going to let him. I'm going to hold him back. It's a storm to divert.